Hello, this is True Crime from A to Z. I'm Sydney.
And I'm Shakira. Get ready for a two-part episode that has a string of interesting events. This week involves hospitals, hospital bandages, and a beard in a crime, which, honestly, I have no idea what that means. I read it and even asked if it was, like, misprinted. So I'm so excited to figure out what that actually means. Those are an interesting line of things to have put together.
Yes, and these will actually be brought into play in both episodes.
This sounds very interesting.
This is interesting. An interesting thing. Yes, it's a very strange story. We are going to hear quickly from some of our podcast friends and hear a word from our sponsors.
Some folks have a strange idea of entertainment.
Hey, I'm Kevin.
And I'm Mark.
Together we bring to you
Two Guys on Friday Horror Podcast.
Every episode we give our top 13 moments from the horror genre.
Keeping you up to date on the latest horror news, jamming out to our favorite songs.
We pay tribute every week to a Friday friend we have lost in the hands of Jason Voorhees.
Giving our take on the movies we have watched, new and old. Do they hold up?
We engage with our listeners, getting their suggestions and opinions on their favorite horror movies.
We carry out interviews with celebrities both in front and behind the camera.
Download us on all major platforms and don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes so we can reach more great people like you.
And find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube under Two Guys on Friday.
And with that, TGOF.
Groovy.
This content is of a violent and disturbing nature. This may not be appropriate for all audiences. For this story, not so much in this episode, but in the next episode, it is more of a violent story.
Uh-oh.
It's more violent than some of the other ones that we've told. So if that is a problem for you, you may need to skip some of it. It shouldn't be a problem this time. This episode is not violent.
Anything that makes you uncomfortable, please, we worry more about your mental health than our listeners. So please, if it makes you anxious or uncomfortable, don't feel bad about having to skip an episode.
Who cares about the listener count? Your mental health is far more important. And if you need to seek help, please do. Your mental health is so important.
We care about that.
This story starts with a sweet family.
Okay.
The Ryan family. The parents are Bill and Sue, and Bill works at the Toronto Star working as a budget manager.
Is that a newspaper or something?
Yeah, the Toronto Star is a newspaper.
Sorry, I don't know much about newspapers that way.
So, yeah, he is the budget manager for this newspaper, which I think is interesting because he is a really quiet person and who likes to be by himself.
Mhm.
So, like, he's very, very introverted, but he's a manager, which is pretty impressive for an introvert to go and do that because...
It means he definitely pushes himself out of his comfort zone every time that he has to do something for work. He does it for the good of the company, which, good on him.
Often, introverts, in some ways, are often better at that kind of a thing, at, like, being a manager and being in charge of different things.
They just have a hard time talking to the employees.
Because they think more level-headedly.
That's so true.
He also enjoys teaching fitness classes because he's very, like, health-minded as a person.
Nice.
He likes to teach health classes at a community center. So he really, really enjoys being on his own and being very introverted, he pushes himself and enjoys going out there and, like, helping others.
And that's so important because some people just, they want to get healthy, but they don't know how to do it. So it's so important to have people who do know how to get healthy, to have them help get them healthy, you know? So that's awesome.
I think that's so great. And then the mother, Sue, is a bright and happy person. She is a happy person, but she is very firm. She runs her household very tough.
Okay.
She's a very firm person and runs her household very tough. is a woman after my own heart because she always has loved gardening.
Gardening's
amazing.
She
spends a lot of time out in her garden. Oh, I know. There's so much peace that you can find in a garden.
My goal is to do a fairy garden this year, so that one just hit me because I'm like, I love fairy gardens. I can relate to this woman. I totally can.
I have a jungle of my own.
You do. I've seen it. It's so awesome.
Like I said, she is a woman after my own heart. I love this part. She loves baseball. And she is a huge Toronto baseball fan.
Okay.
Toronto Blue Jays baseball fan.
That's awesome.
They're a really, really good baseball team. The Toronto Blue Jays.
I've personally never seen them, but awesome.
Oh, yeah. They're really, really good. In 1993, her Blue Jays won the World Series.
Aw.
And to celebrate, she marched up and down the street banging pots and pans together to celebrate.
Oh my gosh, this woman is me. This woman is me. I would have done that.
I know, it's not a great way to celebrate.
We
let the world know that her Blue Jays won.
When I was younger in Manta, when I lived in the one area when I moved away for high school, that's how we used to celebrate New Year's, was going out and banging pots and pans to welcome in the New Year's. So I relate to that too. I relate to a lot that you've told me about her.
Yeah, I know. She's so awesome.
She sounds so fun.
She's firm but great. Likes to let people know when she is enjoying herself.
She sounds like one of those really fun moms.
They both are great people. Both parents are great and awesome.
I love it.
They had four boys.
Oh,
four
nice.
Great boys.
Which that in itself, wow. Wow, raising four boys.
I know, four boys would be... Yeah, four boys.
That's an adventure on its own right there.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. Oh, goodness. The boys' names are Chris, Leland, Brett, and Alexander Jeffrey, or AJ.
I like those names.
I write them in age order. So Chris is the oldest, and he takes after his dad.
Okay.
He is a very shy and quiet person.
Okay.
So he's shy around those that he isn't familiar with. Mm-hmm. But when he is with someone that he does know, he brings out his really, really silly side.
That sounds just like one of my brother-in-laws. He is so quiet normally, but the moment he knows you, he is the funniest person you will ever meet. He'll just like walk up to you and get like all weird. And you're just like, okay, chill out, dude. You're good. But he's so fun to be around. He makes your day.
He works for the TTC, Toronto Transit Commission, as a fare collector. Leland is the next. He is the more artistic boy.
I can relate to him.
You relate to everybody.
I know, but I'm just saying, being a writer, I relate to artists.
He's got some awesome talents because everyone is amazing, but he has some more like loud, more prominent talents than some of the other brothers.
So is he more outgoing like his mom?
No, he's kind of introverted, but he likes to express himself with guitar and drums.
I just happened to see that, and that's what made me wonder if he was a little bit more like his mom. But okay.
Yeah, three of the boys are like their dad and a little bit more introverted.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is more extroverted, but it's not Leland.
Oh, okay.
I originally wanted to say dabbles in this, but he did go to school for it, so he didn't really dabble. He loves to do photography, and he studied at Ryerson.
I always love those who are photographers because they just, I love photography.
Yes, two of my brothers are really good at it.
And also, two cases ago, we were talking about another photographer, so.
Madison, she was a photographer.
Madison was a photographer.
Leland is also a photographer.
That's so cool. Do you know where Ryerson is by any chance? I'm just wondering.
It's in Scarborough or near that.
Okay.
Because that's where they're from. They're from Scarborough.
Oh, okay.
Leland also enjoys restoring vintage cabinets,
which
I think is so cool. And is a dying art. People don't do restorative.
I need somebody to help me with that kind of thing because that would be so cool.
I'm glad that he did. He does that because it's a dying art.
Anything it really is. Like
items.
A lot of the things that you have to work for, like having to restore, and stuff is sadly dying out because people are like, oh, well, you can just get brand new stuff. And it's like, no, like, I really want people to continue to, like, repair old stuff. Like, I love going to antique stores and seeing it. And so does my husband. We love going to antique stores and seeing, like, if we just do this and this, it'll work like new again. And it'll be awesome. And it'll be so different. And it's so sad that it's dying out.
Mm-hmm. So, Chris is the oldest. And he's a few... I'm not 100% sure how much older he is than Leland.
Okay.
He's at least like 11 or 14 months older, I'm guessing.
Okay. So they're not too far apart. So they kind of had their kids not too far apart.
I couldn't find exactly how old, much older Chris was, but I know that Leland is at least is about 2 years older than Brett, who's the next one. And he's the one that's he's more extroverted. He took after his mom. He's the most extroverted in the clan.
Okay.
He is a jock. He loves to do and be seen as like a strong and outgoing person.
Mm-hmm.
He is described as a generous and good-looking man that is always smiling, is polite, and makes friends easily with others. Likes to volunteer at sidekicks and referees for the Little League games at the local community center.
We need more people who are willing to volunteer.
He loves to, he enjoys to work with children.
And local community centers really need those kind of places. I mean, like people, not enough people come to these community centers anymore.
I know, it's so sad. Both him and his dad volunteer or work at the community center.
Oh, his dad does it too? That is awesome, especially with how introverted his dad is.
Yeah, that's where he teaches the health classes.
Oh, okay.
At the community center. He puts the other side of Brett, because he hides this, so it's on the inside, because he likes to be seen as a strong and outgoing person.
Uh-huh.
He hides inside him that he suffers with depression.
Oh, no.
He keeps it inside him because he doesn't want to, like, complain to anybody because he wants to be seen as a strong person. He doesn't want to be pitied.
The one thing that Robin Williams, who sadly, killed himself because of his depression and stuff, he said that those who want to make you laugh the most are usually the ones who are the saddest inside.
Yeah. He was
and
described
that sounds
to have,
like, him.
Like, a lot of, like, smile wrinkle lines because he smiles so much. That is something that he is so well known for, is his smile. He has a great smile. Yeah, which is so sad.
It's sad how so many cases of depression are coming out nowadays. It's like depression has taken over so much. So many people have mental illness, and there's still such a stigma about it that people don't feel comfortable getting help for what they have.
And I feel like depression has a huge influence on this story.
Okay.
So please, here's a plug for mental health. If you feel like you're depressed all the time, because I think I suffered from depression for a while and I didn't realize it, because I know one of my friends, she was heavily depressed, and so I didn't think about having different levels of depression. Because she has very severe
depression. Oh, there's so many levels.
And so I didn't think I had depression because I was comparing it to hers. And because I've always been more of a happy-go-lucky kind of person. But I've suffered from it for a while and I didn't admit it to myself. But it's so important.
I'll add in that I have massive depression. I have bipolar and I have an anxiety disorder that made me almost end my own life. And so and it was because I wasn't willing to admit that I had the problem. So please, if you feel like something is wrong, it isn't wrong to ask for help. I wish I had sooner. And I'm glad that I'm still here to be able to tell people that life does get better. I'm married now. I've gotten so much closer to my family. I have a whole new family, like, getting married into a family. Please, life does get better, but you need to be able to take the proper steps so that you don't feel like every day is the end of the world because you just can't handle the sadness and the fear anymore.
Depression is real. It is a real thing, and you are important, and so please take care of yourself.
Please.
We want you to be taken care of.
Exactly.
Because that's what's most important.
And the most important thing is don't let people just say, oh, you could just be happy. There are people who need more help than just cheer up, because it's not that simple. We want you to be happy in the right way by getting whatever it is that you need.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so that's our little plug right there.
Yes, Brett, as we'll come to see, is an extreme example of why you really need to get some help.
Some help.
He didn't.
And that is so unfortunate.
Yes. So AJ is the youngest, but definitely not forgotten. He is around 6 years younger than Brett. So there's a bigger gap.
So there's a huge gap. There's a lot bigger gap between him and the other brothers' gaps, seems like.
Yeah. And AJ was really smart. He did super well in school, and he was known for his intelligence. He excelled so much that his parents put him in a school for the gifted.
So like one of those like AP class kind of schools.
Yeah. The thing I love about this is each of the boys has such a cool like personal thing that they excelled in.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, it seems like every single one of them had something that they were just really good at.
Yeah, AJ was intelligent and excelled in school. Brett was friendly and outgoing and very personable and made friends easily. Leland was was a very artistic person. Chris was shy but enjoyed being with people, and he worked hard.
It just proves that, you know, just because you come from the same family, you don't need to fit into a mold. You all have your own, talents. You are all your individual person. And so you don't need to feel bad if one of your siblings is better at something than you are, because there's something else that you may be better at than they are. And that's what makes you an individual.
Exactly. So we're going to skip forward to right after high school.
Okay.
Brett, he went off to university. He attended the University of Toronto in Ontario.
Okay.
For those of you that don't know, Toronto is biggest cities in Canada. It is huge. It's very busy. It's very big. It has some really cool tourist attractions. So if you ever go to Ontario, definitely hit up Toronto. It's got some really cool places. And University of Toronto is a really great school. This is the school that he was attending right after high school, but school is hard. It was too much for Brett, and he dropped out. While he was dropping out of school, his brothers were working hard at building their reputable careers in finance and health and education. And while his brothers were doing that, he found himself doing house painting. While this is a great job, it was not where Brett wanted to be with his career. It ended up being a full-time gig for him, but it was not what he wanted to. Because he had huge aspirations. He had huge plans for his life, and he really wanted to go places. And one of the things that he really would love to do is he would love to have a high-paying tech job.
Oh, nice.
Painting is not that.
But no, it's definitely not. But that is a good job. That's a great goal, because that job is a very good job. That's a really nice goal.
He has high aspirations, but at this point, he dropped out of university, and he is going from house to house painting houses. He went from house to house in his old Dodge Dakota, putting on a happy facade for his clients, and it worked really well. The painting became a full-time gig, but under this facade was a man that was falling deeper and deeper into debt and deeper into desperation.
Oh, man.
By the time that 2007 hit, Brett was 26 and found himself in a lot of debt. Like, a lot. Like $60,000. A lot in debt.
I know medical bills for me has taught me that how bad debt is. And it is torture to think of how much debt you can be in. It's like, oh, my gosh, what am I going to do?
Yeah, and that was just tearing him up. Because things were just not working out for him. His house painting jobs was not making enough to knock out this massive amount of debt. And he was looking at his life, and he thought to himself that this was not the life that he wanted to live. Mm-hmm. He was still living with his parents, but he wanted to be working at a good paying job on his own.
Yeah.
Living at a nice place with a girl. Because that's what everyone wants. They want to... Yeah. They want to be self-sufficient on their own with someone that they love.
And something that he didn't quite seem to understand is we all go at our same pace because I do live with my parents, even though I'm married, because of some, you know, mental health issues that both me and my husband suffer from, you know, so sometimes no one can go at the right pace. And it seems like he just wasn't handling his pace very well.
Really struggled with that for sure. He really wanted to live well.
Which is what we all want. We all want to live well.
Yeah. And looking at his debt, he decided that he was not going to accept failure, that he was going to patch things up over with money, because that always solves all of your problems, right?
No.
Yeah. So the fastest way to get a lot of money, what is the fastest way to get a lot of money? Rob a bank, of course.
Oh, I was going to say some kind of crime.
In October, he decided to rob the CIBC Bank.
Do you know what that stands for?
The Canadian Imperial Bank of Commerce.
Okay, so it was really close to where he was at, I'm guessing.
Yeah. When I was in Canada, I saw a lot of these banks.
Oh, okay. So it's a big bank.
Because it's the Imperial Bank. Yeah, because it's a Canadian Imperial Bank, so it's a big bank.
Okay.
It's one of the big five banks
of Canada.
And the headquarters is in Toronto, Canada, actually. Ontario.
So yeah, that would be like a really good location for something like this, unfortunately.
And it's even better because it was 8 minutes drive from his house.
Oh, yeah.
Like an easy in and an easy escape. So it's the perfect location. It's a big bank. They definitely have lots of money.
When I say this, I'm not saying this because I've ever robbed a bank, but like you always need to have a really good escape plan if you're going to, because you know, I watch a lot of true crime stuff. Being so close makes it so that an escape plan is easier.
For sure. He had a really good plan for his robbery of the banks.
Mm-hmm.
Smart, but odd.
Okay.
With what he does.
Okay.
But you'll see. First, he had to disguise himself.
Okay.
He wrapped his face in a bunch of hospital bandages.
That's probably what he could find.
Yeah. To make it difficult to ID himself. And then he hung his arm in a sling.
Mm-hmm.
And off he went, because that's a great way to make it so that it looks like he is injured and not, because hospital bandage all over your face, you can't give any physical characteristics.
Yeah, let's also say here that like it would be a little fishy for someone to be coming in with like the stuff to rob, like, you know, like one of those masks and stuff like that. People tend to get a little suspicious. Yeah. When you buy hospital bandages, I use them on my legs all the time because of my knee problems, so no one would have batted an eye at that. And a sling, maybe you got out of surgery and yours broke, you know, yours wasn't working correctly, so you bought one from the health area. It's an easy thing to buy.
Yeah, so I'm not condoning his actions, but...
No, but I'm just saying that's probably what was going on in his head, too, is, you know, these things won't make me look suspicious.
And it makes it hard for him to be ID'd. That's the big part.
That is the big part.
So, not that we're condoning it, so no one go steal, because you'll end up in jail.
And also, it's just not good, because they're stealing other people's money who most likely it's their money. Like, they deserve that money. They need that money.
Yeah,
A lot of them, that's how they pay their bills. Some of them live paycheck to paycheck. So those banks is what they need.
Exactly. He also walked with a shuffle to make it so that it was difficult for people to identify him by his walk.
That's actually really, really smart, because a lot of people identify through walking.
Yeah. It's amazing how well you can identify someone through their walk.
Mm-hmm.
So he shuffled into the bank, shuffled up to the teller, and handed her a note that said that he had a gun in his sling. Another smart idea. It makes it easy to hide things.
Yeah, because you can put it in the sling.
Uh-huh, exactly. And that she needed to quickly give him $2,000 or more.
Oh,
but $2,000? Really?
Wow.
That's not that much.
Like, that's not going to
Especially when he
debt.
Has a... I know, especially with his $60,000 debt hanging over his head.
It's
but
like,
whatever. What he put down.
I'm not saying, like, I'm not condoning it, but geez, you asked for very little when you are so stressed about such a big bill or big debt. Oh, my goodness. It's, like, not even worth it at this point.
I know, but that's what he chose, and the teller complied.
Okay, well, that's actually smart to do.
I know, it's weird, but it's a smaller number, so it's not going to draw attention to him as fast.
Well, also a lot of them get caught, and it's easier to get somebody for robbing a bank. You don't want to have him get angry, hold hostages, kill people. So a lot of the time, it, like when you get trained as a cashier or something, they tell you just comply because it's easier that way.
And I thought it was smart because he quietly went in, handed her a note, got the money, and quietly left, because she did hand him the money.
Because mass hysteria, too.
Because she only gave him $1,000 and $1,115, so not as much as he wanted. He was able to get in and out without getting caught.
Because some people will withdraw that amount of money if they're going to go like on a big vacation or something, and they've had it saved.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Or if they need to pay someone for like an old car.
Or like, you know, if they have a house payment and for some reason they can't get it to go through the bank, so they're like, we'll just pay it up. We'll pay it in cash or something.
That must have been like a huge adrenaline rush to go in, give her the note, get the money, and then get out because it hooked him.
Oh, no.
On robbing banks.
Oh, no.
He proceeded to continue to rob different banks over the next 8 months. He robbed 12 banks along the 401 highway.
Oh, my gosh.
Which
that's
is a
lot.
Which is a really big highway. And the crazy thing is they were all neighborhood. They were all around, like, his neighborhood. And he even robbed his own bank.
Where he's been to before.
His own bank.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Really? That's like you're stealing your own money.
I hate to say this, but, like, dang, that guy's got, like, real nerves of steel if he's willing to do that. Because, holy cow.
But he, over the 8 months and the 12 robberies, he only got $28,000.
That's not going to cover his debt at all.
Yeah, but it's not a lot compared to his debt. After his first couple of robberies, I'm really got into his theatricality of the disguise with his crimes.
Kind
of
like how he got into how he did it kind of thing.
Yeah, he thought that it is theatrical and it is kind of comedic that his disguise that he chose, but so he decided to buy a high-quality glue-on beard.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh at that because, like, how, you know, serious robbing is, but wow.
Yeah, so he went from using hospital bandages on his face to having a beard, a Gilligan hat, glasses, plaid shirt, and a dark jacket.
Well, the beginning that I read is now starting to make sense.
Yes, exactly. This getup earned him the name of the bearded bandit from the media.
Okay.
Of course, he had the same getup every time, and so people were starting to connect the dots that all the crimes were tied together.
Yeah.
A word of advice.
Don't.
If you are not that we condone it, like before, but if you are going to rob a bank.
Wear something different.
A bunch of banks. Make sure you don't know. Make sure you don't have a criminal history.
That too.
Because this played in his favor. Because that's why he was able to avoid capture for so long, is because they did get some fingerprints, but they tried to run it in the system, but they didn't find a match. Because he didn't have a criminal history, because he was a good guy.
Another thing is that if you wear different stuff, they won't link the crimes very easily.
It'll be harder to link the crimes. They still
could. They probably would have eventually, but it would have been harder.
Because of that, he was able to get a lot more robberies in because he didn't have a criminal history. The police were starting to get obviously connected these string of robberies together, and so they got 25 officers to stake out a bunch of different banks along the 401 highway. And they did that for about 3 weeks, and they were hoping that they would be able to spot the bearded bandit going in and out of the banks to apprehend him. They had figured out some information about him.
Okay.
That they knew what his disguise was, and they knew what car he drove. And so they were looking for those things that they knew about
him. Now, did he drive his own car to these things?
Yes, he did. Yeah. The police had collected some information. They knew what his disguise was, and they knew what car he drove. And so after one of his robberies, the police followed him to his house.
Oh.
And then for the next 2 weeks, they followed him in hopes that they would be able to wait until he performed another robbery. After the 2 weeks, he walked into a TD, Canadian Trust Bank, on Kingston Road.
Okay.
In his disguise, of course, as the bearded bandit. He walked in, but he must have realized that something was off about what was going about this.
Like something felt wrong.
Yeah, something felt wrong. He turned around and walked out right into the police.
Oh, they
were waiting for him outside of the bank because he was in the act of starting to rob the bank.
So that was enough.
And so the game was up and he was caught. He spent the next 7 months waiting in jail for his trial.
That must have been a relief on so many people who were terrified because they worked at banks or whatever, being like, oh, no, is ours next, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so in January of 2009, he pled guilty to the robberies, went to court for his crimes in the Ontario Court of Justice, and his friends and family wrote him lots of letters to the court about his character and about all of the community service that he has done over the years.
It probably was so unexpected for them.
Oh, yeah. They were so surprised. Everyone was shocked when they found out. Because, of course, he hid it from everybody. Because if you're smart, you don't tell anyone that you're robbing banks.
Yeah, he's probably one of those, like, kind of like some of the serial killers out there when you get the interviews from the neighbors and they're like, we never could have expected he would do this. That was definitely, he fits in that category. We never expected he would have done something.
Oh, definitely. None of them expected it. Because, I mean, he was a good guy.
He worked at youth centers.
He was smiling. He was happy. He did community service. Was in his favor.
Yeah.
Like, helped him a lot. Because Justice Paul Richardson. Sorry, Robertson. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Justice Paul Robertson read over all the letters and he mentioned his stellar background.
Okay.
He said that he is a person who has integrity and who has given of himself to the community and who has given himself to others and who is truly a productive member of the society, which he had been up to that point.
Unfortunately, that shouldn't let him, as much as that's awesome, that shouldn't just let him off the hook.
It didn't.
Oh, good.
Not totally.
Good.
Robertson, he said that you are not a youth, but you, in my view, are youthful.
Mm-hmm.
He told Brett. He did have, like, a baby face, like what you would call a baby face.
Yeah, I understand what you mean.
And I like this description of his looks from the Toronto Life, and so I'm going to read what he said.
Okay.
He said that he did have a sweet face. His skin was creased from his big, goofy smile.
Oh, I like that.
Deep-set dimples that, if you have a thing for dimples, he's got them. He has deep-set dimples that made his cheeks puff out when he mugged for the camera. His eyes were intelligent and warm. When he was younger, he kept a shaggy surfer's mane, then switched to a spiked gel look. And he was a kind of a guy that you'd expect to find buying a beaver tails on the boardwalk, not robbing banks.
You're going to have to send me a picture of this guy so I can see what he looks like, because that's interesting just to hear the description of him.
Yeah, he was a good-looking guy. Justice Robertson, he concluded that... So I'm going to, before I say what Justice Robertson concluded, I'm going to send you this quick picture.
Okay.
There's the picture. And we will, of course, share pictures on our social media.
Mm-hmm. As we always
so
do.
So definitely check that out.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It doesn't show his dimples in this picture, but
no, but I can see what you mean. Like, he has kind eyes, and you would never expect someone like that to, you know, see that guy on the news as being, like, a multiple bank robber. He seems so nice. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So Robertson, he concluded that his crimes were completely out of character. That this is, it seemed like it was like a once in a, it was once and done. Like, he's been caught, he just needs to spend some jail time and he'll be reformed.
Okay.
Which I understand.
Yeah, I do. I understand that too.
He seems like a good guy. So he was sentenced to 5 years in prison because it was armed robbery, but he didn't harm anyone.
5 years sounds like a good amount. It really does to me. 5 years.
Yeah.
Like a good one to me, especially with him not having a criminal background the way that a lot of bank robbers usually do.
And he didn't seem like he was a threat to society.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be.
Yeah. And so with time already served and early parole, because he had already spent 7 months in jail, and early parole, he was released from his home to live with his family in late 2010. So I think he spent like a year and a half in jail. And Brett decided that he was ready for a fresh start.
Oh, good.
So now that Brett is out of jail, now what?
Yeah.
Now what do you do?
Yeah, it's like, what do you do after something like this?
Yeah. Well, he was trying to figure that very thing out. Now that he has a criminal record under his belt and robbery nonetheless, he found that the world was a harsher place than it was before he went to jail. He is a man of great aspirations. He still saw himself with that dream that he's held on to of having a good job, living on his own with a beautiful girl. But he still had that huge debt that he had before. But he couldn't handle it, and so he went bankrupt.
That's always hard.
And he tried and tried to find a job, but his potential employers were able to just do a quick Google search to find out about his past as the Bearded Bandit. The job hunt was not going very well. And he tried to start up his house painting business, but with armed robbery charges, who would want him in their
exactly.
home to
That's
do
tough.
Some painting? Not I, said the Sydney.
Not I.
I would not allow him in there.
I wouldn't either. I'm
sure.
Sorry, I wouldn't.
So I love this description of where he was in his life. I feel bad for him because it is a really rough place that he was in, but it's a really great description.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really ouch description. So I'm going to read it.
Okay.
As he approached his 30th birthday, he couldn't escape the self-inflicted realities of his life. He was a bankrupt ex-con with a high school education and no prospects.
Ouch.
Ouch.
I agree with when you said you told it to your husband and your brother and you're just like, ouch.
Oh, that would be so awful to find yourself in that position. That's where he found himself. He was floundering with high expectations that are just continually out of his reach. This is where we are going to leave Brett, with him floundering around. So tune in next week to hear about
not knowing exactly where he's going.
Yes. Next week's episode is going to be about the crazy roller coaster ride that leads to the moments that change his entire family's lives forever.
Uh-oh.
And prepare yourself for the crazy and violent string of events that next week's episode brings.
Sounds like it's going to be crazy.
Like I said, this week's episode is not nearly as violent, but next week's is a lot more violent.
Oh,
so be ready for that.
Boy.
But it is really intense. It's really intense. And it's just like,
okay.
It's just like, wait, what? You did this because of that?
Yeah.
I want to hear your thoughts on this part so far. Because the last two-part I didn't ask.
Well, that was because it was like kind of the same story, just continued.
Yeah, because with this episode, we have a crime that happened. So I'm curious as what your thoughts are really quick.
I think that desperation drove him to do something that he really should have thought through better. He really put too high of expectations on himself because we all grow at a different pace. Like I said, my husband and I, while we're getting on our feet, live with my parents. And, you know, it's not a crime to be a little, like, you know, you see your friends or your family buying their own homes. It's not a crime to be a little bit slower at it. And I think desperation just got the best of him. And unfortunately, then he became addicted to the thrill of it. And unfortunately, that screwed up a lot of his prospects and a lot of his life, because like you said, who would want to have someone like that in their house?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think it helped that with his depression.
No, of course not.
His depression is real and it really drags you down. And
a lot of the things that it tells you a lot, because like I said, I suffer with it, is you're not good enough. You're going to have to find a different way. You're never going to amount to anything. What's the problem with doing this? Because you're never going to be good enough anyway. So you might as well just get what you want when you want it, because you're never going to succeed in anything that you do. And it's all a lie that your depression tells you. But when you're so deep in that hole, it's hard to remember that it is a lie that your mental illness is telling you.
It's really hard. And I feel so bad. It really sounds like desperation is what dragged him into this, which of course, stealing is never something that is good, but it's really unfortunate that that's what led him to do
it. And just because you have depression doesn't make you a bad person. It's what you do and how you handle it.
Yeah. So we, unfortunately, as always, this episode has to come to a conclusion. But next week, we will finish this story. Like I try to do as often as I can. I posted about to see what, if anyone wanted to say, like, say what's going on in their lives or send a message to us and to our listeners.
We can read it.
Yeah, and that we'll read it live on the show. And one of our podcast friends,
Yay for podcast.
She is the host from the Not So Perfect Crime.
Which is such a good one. I love listening to it.
I know. I'm so excited for her next episode. It's
Me
a
too.
Monthly. She drops a new episode every month, so give her a listen. The Not So Perfect Crime, but she's so sweet. She said, I think your last episode is my favorite one. The back and forth commentary between you is really engaging and runs really smoothly and naturally.
Oh, thank you.
So that was super awesome.
Thank you so much. I always worry that because we know each other so well, like I know that we have chemistry, but sometimes I worry that we talk the way that we always talk, so people wouldn't understand us. So it's good to know that everyone understands the way that our friendship works and the way that our friendship, like how we talk as friends.
Yeah, exactly. So with this episode, I used articles from Toronto Life and Toronto CTV News, and that you can find the link to that in our show notes. If you've noticed a problem with the link to our social media, we are working on getting that figured out. You can find a link to our social media from our website. That link works.
Technology, right?
Website said that we might have a bug, so we're working on getting it fixed. The podcast was created and hosted by us, Sydney and Shakira. Woo-hoo. And this episode was researched by me, Sydney. And the music is by the Heart Song Studio. And as always, remember, give hugs,
not slugs.